We got to be sold out. Right? You know, you ever hear anybody say they're just about half saved? That don't happen, does it? Huh? You're either saved or not, aren't we? Brother Bob Osborne used to go through a little deal. He'd say, there's no such thing as uppish down or downish up, whitish black or blackish white. Huh? Is that right or not? Heavenly devils or devilish Christians? No such thing, are they? Amen. How many like to be washed in His blood? Should we sin the more because grace abounds? God forbid. When the Bible said God forbid, that means no. But if a man sin, he have an advocate with the Father. Woo, how many knows His name? How many knows His name? Aren't you glad for forgiveness this morning? I'm glad for forgiveness this morning. Praise God. And I'll tell you, I was lost and I realized how horrible it was. And when the Lord told me that I've got to forgive in order to be forgiven, that was not that hard to do. Not when I considered the only way I could be forgiven is to forgive others. And that makes it a lot easier, don't it? Y'all not saying amen? You're not wanting to bury the hatchet this morning in somebody's neck, are you? Huh? How many's glad to forgive as long as God will forgive you? That's right. Woo. I want you to turn this morning. We'll go into our lesson, our message today. Is a great, really, Matthew 13. And we're going to be talking about Christ. And there's an incredible thought here. You heard of the verse that says, and they limited the holy God of Israel. How many ever heard that verse in the Old Testament? They limited. How do you limit God? God that can do anything and nobody can prevent it. How can they be limited? Amen. I'm getting ready to preach to you here. Amen. About Christ, 13th chapter and 53rd verse. And we need an experience that is effective, an experience that works for us, an experience that is real. Amen, don't we? We need one that, an experience that correlates with this book right here, and that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Not a hope so, or we're going to take this chance on it. But God can, amen. Well, let me read the text. I'm about to feel the Lord in here this morning, and I'd love for the Lord to have His way. How many has been studying your Bible? You don't have to raise your hand. Now, if you don't study your Bible real often, then you're going to fall. That's what's going to happen. And so we deal with these scriptures on Sunday morning, and we just go right through them. And there's life in this book. And as we apply it to our lives, it changes us. And as we behold the Lord in His glory, it changes us. As we look into this book, amen, in the glory of His word and His presence, and we bask in the presence of the Lord in prayer and get in the presence of the Lord in prayer. Amen. People discredit that, and they go on and try to do it some other way. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have the victory, you got to come back, amen, to the source of the victory. Amen. All right, look at a scripture with me this morning, the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, He departed thence, and when He was come into His own country, amen, He left talking with His disciples in these parables. And I assume when it says His own country, He's talking about His hometown where He was raised, city of Nazareth, where His mom and dad, I guess His dad was still alive. I don't know the circumstances. But where his brother, half-brothers and sisters dwelt, Nazareth had quite a reputation. You remember when they met Christ and they asked the question, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And so they allowed the fact that he, amen, was from Nazareth, kind of mess with the way they were thinking about him. Amen. And now we see that he returns to his hometown. Amen. And it says, when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Woo! His brethren, you know what they're doing? They are trying to cement Jesus into this world and eliminate his other world relationship. How many understands what I'm saying? Do you see this? I need to read it to you again. That is the trick of the devil when he tries to earthenize. Is that in the dictionary? He tries to earthenize, amen, this book in Christ. I read quite a bit, and there's a book I really enjoyed by a fellow by the name of Josh McDowell, and it's He Is More Than a Carpenter. Amen. Anybody ever read that little book, little thin book? And boy, it's great. I'd recommend it to you if you could find that book. Amen. And that book teaching about Christ more than a carpenter. Amen. And he talks about the deity of Christ and the fulfillment of the prophecy in Christ. Amen. How many this morning when we preach about Jesus, how many can say he's more than a carpenter to me? Now, he was a carpenter, and he probably was the best there ever was. Now, I don't know how you go into all that. I've heard different ones teach about how miraculous his life was. You really, if the Lord had really wanted us to know about all of that, it would have been in this book. So I don't dwell a whole lot on it. But I do know this. Amen. Our attitude toward the deity of Christ will determine our experience with Christ. Amen. I preached St. John 21, I believe it is, where Peter and his disciples met him on the shore. And there, Peter had denied the Lord three times and just had got prayed back through. They'd seen the Lord a time or two, and now he appears on the shore. And they were all there at that little cookout the Lord had going for them, had that fish on the fire. And then things settled down a little bit, and Jesus started asking questions. And he asked Peter this million-dollar question. Peter, do you love me more than these? And you know, when I looked at that scripture this week, a little more detail, that word where he says, do you love me, is agapeo, if I pronounce that right, in the original text. And that word agapeo, love, interpreted love, means supreme love more than anything else. Amen. So he asked Peter, do you love me supremely? And what was interesting to me, you know what Peter said. How many knows what he said back to the Lord? Y'all with me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. But when you look at that word in the Strong's, that love that he answered with was not the same love that he was asked with. He asked him, do you love me with agapeo, which supremely? And he answered him back with phileo, which means I love you like a brother. It ain't good enough. Well, I love you. How many understands what I'm talking about this morning? He wants us to answer him with the love that he asked the question. Do you love? say, well, he was the best carpenter in town. But, brother, that's not going to get it done. Amen. He's more than a carpenter. Somebody say amen. Woo! I feel like preaching a little. We're in a generation and a culture that don't matter. The devil don't even matter how religious you are. The devil don't matter how consistent you are coming to church. The devil don't matter if you stop certain times every day and bow down on an airport or wherever you might be. So religious, he don't matter if you jump up on an altar and cut yourself. He doesn't matter if you take a vow of poverty and go live in the monastery. He don't matter if you dedicate. It doesn't matter to the devil. You can be as religious as you want to be. But what he don't want you doing is acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Oh, somebody say amen. Oh, I know, even in our political landscape, which is, just whatever you want to think of it. They get in the halls, and really, there on the mall in D.C., every one of those monuments you go to has got the Bible engraved on them. Some of those men like Lincoln and Washington and all those, our forefathers were men that were really Christ men. Are you listening to me? But now they go in there to pray and they don't want, George W. Bush was the president and when they interviewed him and he mentioned Jesus Christ being his personal Savior and dearest friend, boy, that just tore the media all to pieces. Hey, man, you're a bigot, amen, in our society. If Christ means more to you than just a good teacher, amen. But brother, he was either God's son or the biggest sham that ever was in the whole wide world. Amen. So what does that mount to us? Amen. I'll tell you what it means to us. Amen. Christ means everything to us. Are you listening to me? Woo! You say, well, I'm trying to live holy. I'm telling you, if you don't have Christ, your wholeness is as filthy rags. The only wholeness really we can attain in a sense is how close we are to him. That determines our holiness, how much fellowship we have with him. Because our holiness is no good. It's him in us that's imparted to us. His presence in us that makes our hard heart soft, that makes our bitter heart sweet. Are you listening to me? Amen. I know I'm trying to teach to you. Amen. But he went in their synagogue in his hometown and began to teach. And they began to try to tie him, amen, to his father who was a carpenter. Amen. But brother, his father was not a carpenter. His father was God Almighty. Amen. Come on now. He was born of a virgin who had never known a woman. Amen. I know that people are trying to reverse that and they're trying to say it didn't happen. Help me preach a little. But I tell you, we're going to have to, amen, develop an attitude toward Christ that is more than a carpenter. Amen. Now, I know this is not that great, but the subject's great. Amen. Now, let me read on down. I'll show you what happened here. Now, they were astonished by him, and they were impressed with his wisdom and his works. And then they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. And his sisters, are they not all with us? It looks like a pretty good sized family. Whence then hath this man all these things? Verse 57, how many is with me? You see what it said? It said, and they were offended in him. They were offended. He offended them. With his astonishing teaching, his great works, and the Bible said, John said, that if you wrote down every mighty work that he did, now this is what John said, and I really don't believe that he was exaggerating, but he said, if great works that he'd done was written down in volumes, the world could not contain the books. Now, brother, how many mighty works is that? Praise God. I said, how many mighty works is that? They saw the works and were astonished, but when they got to looking at his pedigree, they got to looking at his genealogy, amen, and looking at it, you know, in the musty old books, amen, of begats. Praise God. It offended them. Here's a man that's from Nazareth, poor carpenter's son, and him in here trying to profess to be a rabbi and a teacher and the son of God. Amen. And they just could not take it. Woo, come on now. The Bible said that God chose the simple things to confound the wise. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm getting ready to preach to you a little bit here. Amen. There was an ingredient that was missing. Amen. In these people's experience with the Lord, I said there was an ingredient that was missing that the Bible said, amen, without it, it is impossible to please God. There was an ingredient here, amen, that they saw the miracles, amen, they saw the great works, they heard the words of wisdom, but they would not believe, amen, that he was God's only begotten son. Amen. They would not believe that salvation is by him. Amen. They did not have confidence that he was their savior. Amen. And because they did not have faith, amen, then they were offended by the Son of God and his great claims. Amen. They saw his sisters there with us here. And then in the Bible, Jesus said this right here. And I want to get this too. He said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. Now look at verse 58. Incredible. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now I'm gonna sum this up here, preach a few more minutes here. Amen. I want to ask you something, church. Which Christ do we need? Which Christ are we desperate for this morning? Are we desperate for the carpenter's son? Mary's little boy? Judas' half-brother? Is that what we're desperate for? No, we're not. We're desperate for the Christ that does mighty works. Brother Zane, amen to that. Amen. I'll tell you what, if we were serving the carpenter's son, you wouldn't be here today. Huh? Are y'all going to help me preach a little bit? Boy, I hate to bore you. Amen. I'm not sure I was the one started. I think y'all might have been a little out when you got here this morning. Amen. But I'm trying to wake you up. If I knew how to pray reveille, I'd have already, it's time to get up, it's time to get up, it's time to get up in the morning. Huh? Woo! I'll tell you what, Christ ought to get us out of the bed. Amen. Not the carpenter's son. Amen. But I'll tell you, the Christ that made the whole wide world. Oh, somebody say amen. When we serve the Lord, I think sometimes, amen, we hear the Lord saying, do you love me? And we come to church and we pull out our dollar and we say, we love you like a brother. And the Lord says, that ain't good enough. And he asked Peter, amen. You know, Peter just before had said, amen, he had said these words, Lord, though all men forsake you, I will never. In other words, I love you more than anybody. Amen. And now Christ is putting him to the test. You see, it wasn't that he asked him three times. I don't think that was a coincidence that he asked him three times. Amen. It was one time forever, crow of the rooster. Hallelujah. And you know, Peter had to be, the Bible said it depressed him. It unnerved him. When he asked him that third time, do you love me? Amen. I tell you, the Lord wants us to love him above everything and everybody, amen, else. Hallelujah. Including ourselves. He wants us to put his word, amen, before our will. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You know what the problem is? You know why our experience has no victory? Amen. We're serving the carpenter's son. Amen. And the good teacher. And the astounding worker of works. But we're not serving, amen, the Son of God who has preeminence, amen, over everything. Oh, somebody say amen. I feel like preaching to you a little this morning. You know, we need a Christ, amen, that'll work among us this morning and do those mighty works, amen, of healing and deliverance and salvation. And we're not going to have them until we get him up. Oh, will somebody help me? I said, we're not going to have. Praise God. Amen. And I'm not talking about just a lot of words in the pulpit, but I'm talking about in a life of devotion and a life of dedication and a love for one another and a worship of the Lord. Now, Christ said this, which gives us a clue what these people were hindering these folks. It was the fact that he was a prophet in his own country. And Christ stated a truth that obviously is quite evident. There is, when someone is known, they knew a lot about him. They knew who his dad was, who his mom was, who his brothers were. They knew that he worked in that carpenter shop. They knew a lot about him. They were familiar with him. Oh, I feel like preaching today. I raised my kids right here in this church. Or half raised them, ever what y'all want to say. I love them. We've had the best times. I thank God for them. I do. I love my kids. I preached the other night. I there's times that, you know, the gospel and people, you know, the times have come when they, you know, their birthday rolled around and I had to go preach somewhere. And, you know, I hated to be gone. But you know, of course, the gospel and the schedule. When you have as many kids, that's one about every month of the year, it seemed like. But it wasn't just all sacrifices, Lois. Amen. There's old Beck back there. Ain't that you, Beck? I'm telling you. Not only have we, you know, and I always try to give them that bill, Brother Mac, before I left, and they felt the anointing, seemed like, on that. Then we come back and have cake and ice cream. Hey, you're not going to have a ministry and a Christian life without sacrifice. But if Christ is first, everything else works. Oh, that's right. Your children don't have to get bitter at old-time religion. See, because not only was it those times when the sacrifice I had to be gone or had to go somewhere and pray with somebody or go for a surgery or go and couldn't do the good little fun thing, but there's been lots of times we caught fireflies and went sleigh riding and swam in the ocean. Huh? Are you listening to me? Oh, lots of them times. Amen, that we camped by the lake and watched the eagle fly. Oh, yeah. Precious time. But Christ had to be first. You hear what I'm saying? I said Christ had to be first. But you know what? You grow up. I remember Amanda when she was, boy, she's something, I'll tell you. God help them up there, is all I can say. And I, don't tell her, I said. She'd come to church, Brother Jerry, and she'd watch the people in church, and she'd go home, and she'd come downstairs, and she'd say, Daddy, who's this? And she'd clap just like y'all. I could get them every time. I hardly ever missed one. Boy, she was perfect. She could do it. She could pantomime people shouting, who's this, Daddy? And she'd come shouting. And I'd say, oh, that's... I don't think we do enough now for them to catch on, do we? Oh, I slipped that in on you, didn't I? Huh? But here's what I want to preach about. You know the danger? Getting familiar. I'm going to tell you something. If your religion is dull and boring and familiar, you don't have what you need. Because you listen to me now. Because I'm telling you something. Christ is not just a carpenter. And you know, the old saying, how many knows the old saying, familiarity breeds contempt? Now, contempt is just, care if I go or not. Huh? Familiarity. But, brother, listen. If you are in the presence of the Lord, there's no way you can get familiar with the holy presence of God. He's so new and fresh. Sister Angel, you get full of the Holy Ghost. I know there's times you have to press. That's right. It's just that way. But brother, you get in the presence of God. You know why we need Holy Ghost services in here? I don't mean something conjured up with smoke and mirrors. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost settling down where people get under conviction. It may be you raise your hands and you head up and you holler hallelujah. Or it may be you've dropped your head and covered your head and said, God, have mercy on me. It's both the Holy Ghost. Huh? But here's what I want to tell you, church. Amen. You've heard the old saying, it's like with my youngins, never a dull moment. Amen. That's right. But I'm going to tell you, that's the way it is with old time religion. If you're really pursuing God, amen, and people talk about being bored, I could give you a list as long as my arm of things you could do for God and never have to worry about getting bored. And if you get bored in America, we'll put you on a ship and send you to Africa. Amen. You won't get bored over there trying to stay alive and keep your life and preach to somebody. Oh, somebody say amen. Ha, 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 ha. Woo, feel like preach a little bit. I tell you, you know what had happened to these people? And Christ here said he did no mighty works. In another place, he said he could do no mighty works. Oh, they limited, amen, the Son of God in their life because they did not honor him, amen, as preeminent Son of God, amen, and God Almighty himself, amen, has exalted him. Woo, come on now. Every false doctrine belittles Jesus Christ. I don't care. You just call one up. Mormonism? Catholicism? Just call them up and look and see how they feel about the Son of God. Huh? The Catholic Church will take, amen, his position as high priest and give it to a man. Amen. Kiss his ring and confess to him. If that's not sacrilege and blasphemy, I've never heard it in all my life. Y'all gonna help me preach a little? And you know what it stems from? It stems from their disregard for the Son of God. Oh yes, I know he was a Jew. Amen. That's how that woman at the well said. Amen. She said, I know thou art a Jew. Amen. And Jews have no dealing with a Samaritan. And he just kept talking and she kept seeing. Hallelujah. Hey, as I perceive that thou art a prophet. Oh, but I want to tell you something this morning. Amen. Woman at the well. Amen. He's more than a prophet. He just kept on talking. She kept on seeing. Oh yeah. And then she gets a little hint and she says, our fathers talked about the Messiah. Amen, that was going to come at the last day. And he looked at her and said, I am he. And brother, she threw her pot in the air and went to jogging into town. You know what had happened? He had went from a Jew, amen, and a prophet, and a man, to the Son of God. That's what's going to happen in your life if you'll keep hearing the Word of God and keep seeking the Lord. It'll be more than just a mundane experience. You say, I'd like to see the miracles, but the miracles without belief in Christ will not help you at all. He says, familiarity. And you know, there's a... I don't know how to say this because you can't really compare this. But he said a prophet. He didn't talk about just himself. He talked about a preacher, a man of God, a prophet. He said he's not without honor. And you know how it is. It's not a horrible deal. But just like y'all get used to my preaching. And, you know, it's just because you've heard me for 27 years. You've heard me when I did good, and you heard some other things too. But you know, you get used to it. I could go across town, and folks would come out and say, boy, that's unusual. And y'all say, what? What are you talking about? That's just the way it is. I mean, that's just common. But we love one another because you feel like God has sent me here. I do too. And you don't honor me as Randy Webb, you honor me as the pastor of the church. And that is an honorable position. Is that right? Hey, that's right. And so that's why when I'm not doing too good, you stick. And when I'm doing all right, you stick, because it's the position of honor that's done. But you and I both know that if there's any dishonor given, it's in a man's home country. You understand? That's what happened to them. A prophet, they didn't honor him because I know where his boy's Ray. I saw him cut his teeth down there on that bench in that carpenter shop. But I guarantee they couldn't have said, well, I remember when he was in jail. I remember that time they caught him stealing watermelon out of the neighborhood. No, they didn't. I remember when he got expelled from school. His mom and dad had to. No, you don't remember that. They couldn't put the finger on him. He said, which one of y'all convinced him? Not the one. I'm going to tell you, this Christ deserves our all. And I'll tell you right now, if we want a revival, Brother Needham, hell, we want a revival like you talked about the other day, the revival back in the 80s when folks were getting saved by the dozens. One Sunday night up there, 11 people got saved. And I'm going to tell you what, amen, we're not going to have revival as long as Christ is just loved with brotherly love and we don't love Him supremely above everything else. We've got to put Him first. I've heard people say, win the lost at any cost. But I don't agree with that totally. Amen. We cannot compromise our devotion to Christ to win the lost. You'll never win the lost. You may build your church. We may have a mega church. Amen. But a lot of time those mega churches have a meager presence of God. Are you listening to me? We got to put Christ first. He is more than a carpenter. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a rabbi. He's more than a good teacher. Amen. Look, if we're going to have a move of God, we do not need... I'm going to tell you, Christ, He wants to save. The only thing will keep Him from saving you, if you're not saved, is you're not just confessing and believing. That's the only reason. He wants to heal you. He does. He come to heal us. Amen. We just need to believe Him. Believe for the healing. Amen. Isn't that right? He wants to make you, amen, well in your, not just your physical body, your spiritual body. He wants you to have a happy life, a happy home. But the key is, He is supreme. Do you love Him? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? How many understands the point in this message this morning? And I'm just about done. But how many understands what I'm talking? It's faith. It's the faith that was missing. He went into their synagogues and He taught them. They acknowledged how awesome He was. They saw the blind healing. They realized the power He had. But they would not believe Him to be the Son of God, the Messiah promised, the Christ, the Anointed One, God in the flesh. Now we've got to believe Him. I said we've got to believe Him. If we go to prayer not believing He'll answer, we might as well save our breath. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. You need to commit your life to this Savior. Amen. Now you may get in a shape, and you say, "Well, I've witnessed to people, and I've heard this a lot of times, Brother Jeff. How am I to know your religion is better than any other? You know, I mean, and that's pitiful. It is pitiful." There is only one pure religion. It's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. And I've told you about knocking on that door years ago, Brother Charlie, up in a holler somewhere, not in Buchanan. And I was inviting him to church, and this lady come out on the porch. Another fellow was with me. And she said, "I'll tell you right now, when you preachers get y'all's act together, I might think about it." I started just to leave. I seen she wasn't in the mood for what I was doing. And I just stopped and I looked back at her and I said, "What are you talking about?" "Well, preachers can't get along. They try to get us in church. One church says they're right, another church." I said, "Are you talking about me, man? Are you talking about me? Well, you're a preacher, ain't you?" "Yes, ma'am." I said, "Well, let me tell you something." I said, "What do you think about Jesus?" I wasn't going to go on my merits. Huh? I wasn't going to say, "No, no. We're going to get her on that trail. I said, "What do you think about Jesus?" She kind of quieted down a little bit. There's only one pure religion undefiled. Somebody say amen. You say, "That seems awful dogmatic and bigoted. You know, you think everybody else is going to hell." I'm going to tell you this. Going to hell business is not my job. You got that? It ain't my job. I'm going to preach the gospel. Tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And God is going to have the last say. But I'm going to tell you, any religion that does not exalt Christ as the only way to heaven is a false doctrine. Huh? I don't care. You can't cut yourself and be saved. You can't hang yourself and be saved. You can't do all the good works in the world and be saved. You've got to be saved by the grace of God, by grace through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, that He is God's only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God bless you. Would you stand? Stand with me.